Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show made from 100% post-consumer material. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
Shane and Jared cover the breadth of nerdy topics. We do some more individual reviews because we're really lazy. And Adam resigns his term as governor so we can play more World of Warcraft.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
This is The Scope, episode 77 in the hizzy. Surprise of all surprise is Adam is out. That means Jared and Shane. By the way, Shane is myself. We are running the show today. I'm not sure if it's going to be lean and mean, Jared, or bloated. And what's another word that we could throw in there for bloated?
Am I supposed to say stuff?
I think you're. I can't do this by myself. I'm no Rush Limbaugh. Ladies and gentlemen.
I need to do his spew some hate speech to be him. Shane is a racist. He's a racist.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He's faking it.
That's as, I've never really tried a Rush Limbaugh before. That's as close as either of us are going to get.
I suppose.
Yeah, Adam is out. Hopefully we will see him next show.
He's traveling, right?
He's traveling or in between. He keeps promising us that the traveling schedule is going to loosen up as we start getting closer to fall, but who the heck knows? I think he just likes, he plays when he wants to play. He's a Randy Moss type co-host on this show.
Well, if you catch touchdowns, I guess you can play when you want to play. And Adam catches touchdowns. I think everyone will agree.
People love Adam. I mean, I think the show is already flat without him.
I think it's flat because it's Friday night and I'm freaking tired.
We are recording one day ahead of schedule just because I am ruining everything. I'm throwing everything out of the loop. Out of whack, and that's just the way it has to be today.
That's okay.
Okay, so
we've got extra guests, though.
Oh yeah,
we do.
Oh, good for you!
There we go.
Everyone's.
I'm not going to play that one anymore today.
The cast of characters.
I don't know how to do interviews.
Oh, well, Adam did show up.
He did. He's here. So, Jared, I've got a list of four topics to start the show.
Let's make it happen.
Cats, pizza, toys, and cable.
Am I supposed to pick one?
Yeah, let's.
It's you know, you don't listen to the Paul and Storm podcast, but they do something very similar. Where
do they?
One of them puts out a list of kind of cryptically named topics, and the other person picks one, and then they talk.
Wow,
about that topic.
I've never heard it, and yet we're in some sort of weird mind share brain
right
wave thing.
And in the act of sharing that little story, I've forgotten the topics.
Let's try it again. Cats, pizza, toys, and cable. They're not all very good stories, but all these things happened today. Hmm. So I've had a busy afternoon after I got out of work. So
I'm gonna want to get to cats, but I don't think I want to get there first. I'm gonna go. Let's go with cable, Shane.
Okay. So today, cable, Jared.
Yes.
Your opinions on this?
Cable, like the Marvel Comics character?
No, as in Comcast, our cable provider.
Yes.
We had a couple of gentlemen come to our door,
really
trying to get us to change our cable package and sign up for the digital phone, and guess what? We did it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
We will be this is such a terrible show. We're going to be saving probably $40 to $50 a month doing this consistently. Even when the rates go up, we'll save about that much. So you've had a digital voice line.
Yes, but not a Comcast one.
So give me the scoop on this. Am I pretty much dooming myself, or is it going to work for me?
It seems to work fine for me. I barely use my house phone, so maybe your situation is going to be different. The one thing you have to understand is that you can get it to work with your house wiring. It tends not to work so well in the older houses. Mine, I tried it here. It barely worked. Caller ID didn't work, stuff like that, so I had to give up on that.
Mm.
maybe it's different with Comcast. I don't know. I use Vonage. So what I end up having, and you may have the same situation, is I have one of those wireless phone systems that has one base station and then satellite units.
Yeah.
So I have the main one in the office connected directly to the router, and I have a router with Vonage built in, so I don't have any extra dongly thing or whatever.
Gotcha.
Maybe Comcast has that as well. I don't know. So the phone is plugged directly into the router, and then I have a satellite unit that's in the kitchen. And that's, for as much as I use the house phone, that works fine. for me. I don't need to use the house wiring any. It was always my intention at some point to rewire the phone lines in that house, but never quite got to it. Just like I never got to running Cat 5 cable throughout.
No, you are such a lazy bastard.
I have the plugs. I have the cables. I just have to get around to doing it.
Yeah, these guys knocked on my door, and you know they're trying to explain to me all this stuff. And, of course, being Mr. Prepared, I had already talked to the Comcast service provider, so I had all this information. So I was really putting the squeeze on him.
Were you?
Yeah, you know.
Was this something you could negotiate on?
No, I just told them. I said, you know what? I got a higher price on the phone. What is it going to be in a year? Because that's my concern. Are you guys going to rip me off? And,
right.
And according to them, it's only going to go up $10 next year after 12 months, which still saves us a good bundle of money.
So you're looking at cable TV, internet, and telephone service.
And telephone and HBO.
As I like to say, internet telephony. Yeah.
HBO,
but isn't that part of cable?
It is, but we dropped it, so we're bringing it back.
Oh.
We are bringing HBO back. So let me just break this down for you, Jared. I'm going to crunch some numbers right now. We are dropping our telephone.
Okay.
Quest.
Yes.
We are getting cable.
Yeah, we already have cable.
I'm sorry, getting HBO.
Additional cable.
And we're only spending $10 more a month. Actually, no.
So you're not actually saving money.
Our cable bill is only going up $10 a month, and we won't have a phone bill.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, you're getting more, but you're also paying more. Shane, that's commerce in action.
I'm no mathematician. I told them I drive a hard bargain, and they were
you want to give me more goods and services, I insist on giving you more money. It's only fair. I want to be above board on this, sirs. You come in here with your cut-off jeans and your fancy t-shirts,
mm-hmm.
you know, with probably an Affliction t-shirt with some sort of stylized skull on it,
and I
can tell you mean business. So I'm here to say I mean business as well, and I'm going to give you extra money.
Yeah, because
I care.
The interesting thing about the guys that came, they were working in tandem, sort of like good cop, bad cop, and there was really more like cop and then guy that was standing in the background. The guy that's standing.
How were they dressed? I really got to know how these guys are dressed.
Okay, so they were wearing jeans and t-shirts.
Seriously,
and one guy was wearing a fancy. I don't know, some sort of fancy loafer.
So wait, you're telling me they're trying to sell you something and they're wearing jeans
but
and t-shirts?
And they also had the bright hunting orange vests on that say Comcast. So they're dressed up like Comcast workers.
Okay.
And so...
Did they say, give me a 50 spot under the table and
no.
I'll just go and up on the pole and give you a little what?
I don't want to...
Next thing you know, Spice Channel in every room?
I'm going to tell you, I don't want anyone from Comcast going up my pole. It was two guys. One guy was 20, I would say early 20s, and then the guy that you would expect to be talking, he was, you know, probably 50s, and he just kind of stood in the back. And the guy in the 20s who did all the talking, he talked with sort of a lisp, and
mm-hmm.
He looked kind of like a hillbilly. I got to say, when he opened his mouth and he talked, he had a big black thing on the front of his teeth.
He had a snuff in there earlier.
Yeah,
or something?
It looked like snuff, but right. it just looked like, you know, something. This kid, it doesn't like. Where's dental? Does Comcast not have dental? And he had summer teeth.
Shane, the young kids, they think they're invincible these days, and that includes their teeth.
They do.
They don't know. You don't take care of those. Next thing you know, you look like a homeless man.
Exactly. Have you heard of summer teeth? Because that's what this guy had.
I've never heard of summer teeth.
Yeah,
is that like the star of Gossip Girl or someone?
No,
summer teeth.
No, summer here, summer there.
Ah,
that's a. Where's Adam when we need him?
I think we're doing fine.
And then he didn't. And then he had kind of a birthmark on his, you know, one of those big, what do they call those? Like a port wine birthmark on the side of his face,
like a Gorbachev thing.
Yeah, but it covered like half of his head.
Oh wow!
But it had been lasered off. And I don't. But you could.
But you could not effectively.
You could kind of see it. And I don't. You know, this is one of those moments where what do you do? Do you really go in and attack the guy and make fun of him, or do you like, you know, that's probably a tough burden to live with?
I don't think you should really make fun of anyone for that kind of stuff.
I'm not making fun of him.
That's how it is.
If they did something like a
facial tattoo or some sort of modification they elected to do, that's fair game. You can go to town on them for that. But something you're born with and maybe you're trying to correct it with lasers and other technology, and I don't think you should make
it. Yeah, it was
let it go.
It was kind of strange because...
Now, Clubfoot, you go after that.
Clubfoot,
right?
he sort of slided away, you know?
Right.
Or slid away.
Yeah, sort of physical deformity.
I thought it was kind of an interesting choice on this tandem's part to have him be the face of the company.
Yeah.
Just because when he first starts talking and you look at him, he really... I mean, it was kind of like, you know, what is this guy talking about? Is it, you know, is it shady? 'Cause that's kind of what I thought. But, you know,
Like maybe they stole the Comcast vests and they were just trying to...
You know, it's best presentation. That's what I'm thinking.
And
you know,
but this guy, was he better than the other guy? I mean, are we talking like the lesser two evils here?
Eventually the other guy kind of started chiming in and talking to us. And, you know, once I told him, I said, hey, gentlemen, this is your lucky day because I know everything you're talking about. And I think that we're going to do this. I've just been too lazy to call the company myself and take care of it. And then the other guy was like very
happy.
Tell
you what, you come in the kitchen, you fire up the grill, you make some food, make us dinner. You know, we'll provide the food. We just don't want to cook.
You know, I walk.
You do that, and we'll take care of business.
I'm trying to take care of my kid because she's had this fascination with Ghostbusters. By the way, I could have put ghosts on my list too because that's been an interesting thing. But I walk away, and so Carrie's talking to them. Carrie's my wife for all the listeners that don't know. And I, you know, it'll be very businesslike conversation. Then I come back, and Carrie's telling them, yeah, we're going on vacation in this place for a week, and
the house will be completely empty. There'll be no security.
And last week I was,
and we leave all our jewelry out on the counter.
And then she starts getting into last week. We were at the Green Day concert, and telling them that she rented to her cousin. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Guys are probably like, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. And but by the way,
am I getting a commission here or not? That's all I care about.
Actually, they're coming over for dinner next week.
We've
become fast friends.
Nice. Oops, I hit the wrong one. There we go.
Okay, so. Cable one out of the way. Shane has digital phone.
Awesome. I hope it works for you.
Topic two. I'm gonna jump in and do my ghost topic because I think it's interesting. So, so 2 days ago, our daycare provider came up to me and said, "I think we're gonna try to watch Ghostbusters."
Interesting.
Or parts of Ghostbusters. And my kid's 4, and anybody that knows Ghostbusters is that it could have some sort of intense scenes in there. You know, nothing too scary, but for kids of that age, anything could set them off. And I guess the kids had been talking about ghosts and pretending like there were ghosts around, and so Mary mentioned it. That's the daycare lady. Uh-oh, what's this? Very spooky ghost sneaking through.
No, that's not so good. I tried.
Hey, Jared's
continue.
Trying,
go
Jared's
ahead.
Trying to do a soundscape. So anyway, the ghost idea is implanted in my daughter's head, and she wants to see this movie called Ghostbusters. And if anyone, we kind of let in because we weren't going to do it, but Audrey had a 1-hour dentist appointment, and she was the perfect patient. Ooh, very scary. And so we decided to let her watch Ghostbusters. Put it in the DVD player, start playing, and if anyone remembers how Ghostbusters starts, it starts in the library, where a librarian is being chased by a ghost, and things are flying everywhere. It's kind of scary.
I haven't seen that movie in ages.
Well, Audrey gets very scared. So then they call in the Ghostbusters to check it out, and they eventually see a spiritual librarian that sort of shushes them, and then they, in their grand wisdom, how are they going to deal with this ghost? They shout, "Get him, get her," and they go running at her, and then the ghost turns around and does this very scary face, like a Large Marge type of thing from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Right.
And then the Ghostbusters go running out. Audrey was laughing at this. She asked a million questions, but she certainly wasn't scared by it. But then the next ghostly scene that comes up, it's Sigourney Weaver. She's coming home from grocery shopping, and she's in her kitchen. The scary music kind of starts, and she starts taking things out of the bag, the grocery bag. It sounds... There we go. And you hear she puts a carton of eggs on the counter, and her back is to them. And eventually, the carton of eggs flies open, and then the eggs start exploding and then sizzling on the counter, like they're cooking. And Audrey went from loving it to hating it in 1 second.
Oh my!
I mean, the tears were gushing out of her head. She's screaming, "I don't want to see any more ghosts! I'm so scared!" I couldn't figure out what is it with eggs. Does she have an egg phobia?
I don't know. Does she like eggs? Does she hate eggs?
Well, I think she hates them now.
Yeah. Well.
So
that's the ghost's fault.
So we had to put the ghosts away, and luckily she didn't have any nightmares. But guess what? Today, when we got home, she started talking about ghosts again.
Hmm.
And she wanted to see this Ghostbusters, and she kept telling us, "I'm not going to cry this time. I'm not going to cry at the eggs." And Carrie and I agreed that we weren't going to let her watch it. And so we're flipping through the channels on TV, and Ghostbusters 2 is on.
Oh no!
So then we decide we're going to kind of let her watch. And you know what? It's like she matured in one day. Yes, she matured in one day, and she watched half of the movie practically, and had no problems with it, from the Statue of Liberty coming alive, even to the baby in peril and the river of slime running through the sewers. There we go. The breakout hit from Ghostbusters 2 coming at you.
Anyway.
WSCP, Bobby Brown, On My Own, Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. Boy, I really missed that one. It's really hard to know when you jump on this one for Hit the Post, Jared.
Sorry. Yeah, it's kind of all over. It's got sounds. It's got those.
Doesn't work.
Those string hits and all kinds of crazy shit going on.
So topic two, ghosts. Everything is good at my house.
Awesome.
Okay, let's. We're running long already, Jared. So let's skip to the final topic. I'm sure you want to know about
cats.
This.
We need cats.
So on Monday morning, about 5 a.m.
You know, I'm curious about the pizza too. Can you make it quick?
Oh, we just. We'll go to pizza real fast. We ordered pizza from a place that we've been ordering for 7 years. They just came under new management.
And that place is?
Pizza Gallery.
Okay.
We can call them out. And they have this deal called the Family Special, which is a really good deal. It's a super large pizza, Coke, and something for $19. I don't know what it is. But usually you have to have a coupon. We didn't have a coupon, so I went online to see if they had one to print out.
Yep.
Online.
Yep.
It says right online. In their special section, that special with that price listed out, doesn't say anything about needing a coupon, anything like that.
Sure.
So I call up their line. I tell them, hey, I saw this special. It's the family special. I don't have a coupon, but it's on your website. And the guy is quiet. He said, oh, well, you kind of need to have a coupon to give to your driver. And I said, okay. And then there was nothing more. And then he just asked for my credit card. Didn't give me a total. And I figured they were going to give me the special. So the driver comes 40 minutes later, and the special is $6 more than what the special price is.
Hmm.
And I said to him, I said, you know, it's on your website. I'll pay it now, because they actually run the credit card through before you get there. There's nothing they can do about
it. Sure, sure.
And I didn't have any cash. I said, but I'm just letting you know, on your website, that's what it says. You should honor that. And the kid's like, oh, I'm sorry, whatever. And then he proceeded to tell me.
Deliver the pizza.
He proceeded to tell me, Jared, that he used to hang out in our house all the time.
What?
That he used to be friends with someone that lived there. And then he went on to tell me about all the cool things in our garage.
What?
It was very bizarre, yes.
Like,
he's like, yeah, look.
Cool stuff you didn't know
about?
He
goes, your garage, like, you got heat in there, and you got a drain, and you got running water. That place is awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. So anyway, Carrie gets a bug in her butt. When you cross my wife,
look out.
Look out.
Look out.
So she calls up the store, the restaurant, and says, can I, you know, I just want to let you know that your special is $19 on the website. It doesn't say anything about a coupon. And I guess the woman on the phone was a total bitch to her. Like, oh, well, I'll take a note of that. And then as soon as somebody crosses Carrie, she goes from 0 to 100.
The claws are out, teeth are bare, look out.
It's like when Audrey
someone's getting a new asshole.
It's like when Audrey sees eggs exploding on Ghostbusters.
Yep.
That's what it's like.
It's like one minute she's loving it, the next minute she hates
it. And then Carrie says to her, I doubt you'll be taking any notes on that. I think she might. I don't know if she called her a bitch or not, but she hung up and she was very angry. And then 2 seconds later, she goes, you know what? I need to talk to a manager. So she dials them back up.
Mm-hmm.
The same woman answers. Mm-hmm. And Carrie said, I'm going to talk to a manager. And this woman says, I own the place. This is my restaurant. Because they just came under new management. So they've been having problems. And, you know, Carrie said, we've been here for 7 years. We've never had a problem. I don't know why you're being snotty to me. And the woman said, well, she goes, I'm being sincere. And she goes, well, you sound very condescending. And then Carrie said, well, why do you have this price on your website if you're not going to honor it? And the woman says,
yep,
actually, I don't know anything that's on our website. I'm not familiar with our website. And Carrie says, if you're the owner of the company, you should know everything that's on the website. She goes, I'm in the medical field. I know nothing about business, but I bet you that's probably what you should be doing. And they didn't offer any sort of refund. They were just assholes. So, Pizza Gallery, you've lost our business. 7 years of business. We will go someplace else.
Take that, Pizza Gallery.
Yep, and I'm sure they're listening to this podcast.
In the words
right
of Jesse
now.
Thorne, hang it up, Pizza Gallery.
Hang it up, Pizza Gallery. Topic number four is cats.
Cats. We both have stories for cats.
Okay, so Jared, would you like to?
Well, you've been talking a lot, so I'll tell my cat story first.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
So those of you who follow me on the Twitter may have seen a 140 character or less message about this incident, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Last Sunday, I'm at home, just, you know, relaxing, having a...
Is this the day after Convergence or the day of Convergence?
No, this was last weekend.
Oh, so last
it's a weekend,
okay.
Hence, but just having a lazy Sunday. Not like the song on SNL.
That's too bad.
Just,
I love that.
Anyway. So I get up from the couch, I walk to the kitchen, and I look out the window, as I often do, because I'm fascinated with the furry creatures that inhabit the yard on occasion. So I'm always on the lookout for squirrels and rabbits and whatnot. And I notice there's a cat.
Mongoose.
A cat on the driveway. Now, we've taken to call this cat not Fred, because he looks similar to the cat that we've talked about on the show, and that had frequented the neighborhood for many, many years until his... last appearance prior to Christmas. We have not seen him since.
My guess, he's probably turned into stew somewhere.
That's not nice. And we think he's found a loving home, Shane. We're going with that. Anyway, that cat's name is Fred. This cat that looks like Fred, we call him not Fred. And he's got white feet. That's how we tell him apart. And he's like a giant cat. He's like as big as your cat or bigger.
Yeah.
Anyway, I see this cat laying on the driveway. And I call to Angie. I say, hey, look, not Fred's on the driveway. She goes, oh, I want to see. So she gets up. As she's coming to join me at the window,
yes.
I notice, there's a squirrel in the driveway.
Is he laying or is he ready to attack?
It's hard to tell from this distance. I thought he was just reclining, but he probably was, because he was not moving, so he was on the hunt. And I saw the squirrel, and I took another look at Not Fred. I said, this isn't going to end well. Sure enough, within seconds, Not Fred jumps to action, starts chasing the squirrel.
Uh-oh.
Now, there between the driveway and the backyard, there is a fence, and you know, just a regular chain link fence with a gate. And there's, as these things go, there's usually a gap between the gate and the fence where
yes.
small creatures can fit. Squirrel darts right through it, no problem.
Yes.
Not Fred. Didn't expect him to be so
wily?
Easy to get through. He goes right through. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. Catches the squirrel in the midst of the hostas that I have planted in a line right by the garage. So I can't see exactly what's going on, but I can see leaves twitching.
So it's over,
so I'm like,
Johnny.
Ooh, that's not good. And probably 20 seconds later, Not Fred emerges from the hostas with the squirrel dangling from his mouth.
Not Fred is a is a killer because oftentimes cats don't mess with squirrels.
Really?
Yeah, just because of their squirrels can be fairly vicious and they've got some pretty nasty claws. So
he took care of business.
Yeah. He's a killer.
He got this squirrel. He was dangling. Now, this is the funny part. I mean...
Oh, that wasn't the funny part?
If you hate squirrels, it was funny. I happen to like squirrels, so it was kind of sad. But at the same time, I'm kind of a nature lover.
Oh, here we go.
So
yeah.
It's like, this is the circle of life
Mr.
going
Animal
on here.
Planet, Makuna Makata.
I'm hearing, what's his name in the background?
Elton John is singing your song.
And
James Earl Jones
being lifted to the sky. But no, it was kind of neat. So it was sad that the squirrel had to die, but it was also kind of beautiful to be able to like witness that piece of nature happen.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't actually see the killing stroke, so I just kind of saw the chase and then the aftermath.
Always sanitizing this world.
So he rises from the hostas, squirrel dangling from his mouth, and I'm like, please take that elsewhere. I don't really want to deal with the squirrel body in my yard. I've already seen squirrel bits here and there over the years, and it's like, ugh, kind of gross. So he gets up to the gap between the fence and the gate, right?
Yeah.
And he's having a little difficulty getting through.
Uh-oh.
He kind of like sticks his head up to it, like
sort of pushes his realizes it's not going to fit.
You know, he's like, I just fit through here. What's the problem? And I'm like, dummy, you got a squirrel in your mouth now.
Yeah, he's not that smart.
No. Eventually, he just kind of forced his way through and trotted on to the neighbor's yard. And I'm assuming had himself a nice dinner. But there you go.
Did the squirrel when it was about to be chased realize what was going on? Was it freaked or?
I think it was just being a twitchy little squirrel guy in the yard looking for food or whatever. I don't think he noticed.
Think he was going to be
the
a
cat
meal.
Was there because the cat was motionless, and if you're motionless, then the squirrel's pretty much not going to notice you.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. And once he took off, it was too late.
So you're saying he got what he deserved.
The cat closed within seconds, and it was all over.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it was just the timing was impeccable. I couldn't believe that I was able to just get up right at that exact moment and watch it happen.
I bet you we're going to get tons of listener responses telling me that I have no idea what I'm talking about. That cats kill squirrels all the time, but no cat I've ever had has chased a squirrel and been successful or tried that hard.
I'm pretty sure the actual Fred has caught squirrels.
Yeah.
I know I've seen him hunting on many occasions. He's caught mice and birds and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure he's probably taken down a squirrel or two in his time.
Large cat populations like of wild cats can destroy an ecosystem.
Well, we seem to have a lot of stray cats in this neighborhood. There's at least four that I know
of. Get a rope. So my cat story, and then we'll move on to the nerd round table. Monday morning, I was in the shower, and I guess have I talked about Turk, our cat?
I don't know.
He's our newest cat. He's about a year old. He weighs 17 pounds. He's giant, a gigantic dope. And unfortunately,
he's as big as that family deal from the pizza factory.
He is. He tends to torment the other cat. Not viciously, but he just doesn't leave her alone. And he tends to do that early morning at night, the most inconvenient time for us. And he knows he's being naughty. And while I was in the shower, I guess he was attacking the cat, and Carrie sat up like she was going to chase him, and he ran into the darkness. I don't know if he just panicked or whatever, but Carrie didn't see what happened, but she heard a sort of a loud bang.
Uh-oh.
And didn't really think much of it. And after I got out of the shower went into the kitchen to make my breakfast, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I looked down, and Turk is laying in the middle of the kitchen floor. Just laying there. Normally he's begging for milk and that sort of thing, because he's 17 pounds, and how do you think he gets so fat?
He eats everything.
And so I was watching him, and all of a sudden he let out this most incredible yowl, like blood-curdling yowl, and I could not he'd never done it before. I couldn't figure it out, and then I couldn't get him to actually get up and get some milk, so I touched him, and not in an essential way. I just touched him, and he cringed and hissed at me. I was like, whoa, Turk, slow down, buddy. This is not normally how you respond. He's a very very cute cat. As the people at the vet called him, they called him a lover boy. So I had a very important work meeting I had to be at, and all I could do was drag him down the stairs. Not drag him, I lifted him up, and I just laid him by the cat litter box and the food, just in case he had to go. And then I came back a few hours later and took him to the vet, thinking that I didn't know what happened. Maybe he sprained something. Cats can be very funny that way. They can get hurt, especially larger cats like that. And they take him in, do an X-ray, and she comes out and she says, first of all, we got to talk about your cat's weight. He's a very big boy.
Is he overweight, or is he just a big cat?
Well, she seems to think he's overweight.
Okay.
She being the vet.
Right.
But he's not, I don't think he's obese. I just think he's a big cat. He probably could stand to lose a few pounds. Obviously, okay. The vet seems to think that. But she said, I didn't know what to expect, but the X-rays were very interesting. He shattered the bone, his rear leg bone that attaches into the socket.
Oh,
He just shattered it. So we're going to have...
how many pieces?
It was shredded, I guess.
Oh, boy.
So he had to stay overnight a couple of nights and then have surgery a couple days later. They said sooner rather than later. That's what they said.
Well, and, he can't really walk around, I'm presuming.
No. This is the thing. I thought when we eventually got Turk back, which, by the way, it was what they do in the surgery is, it's like a ball and socket sort of thing, and they just shave off the ball and sort of shape it so it fits in there. And that's really about it. There's no cast. There's nothing like that.
So basically, you just got a new bone.
Yes. With what he had there before. But
wow.
We find out that when he comes back, he doesn't have one of those crazy cones of shame on his head, which he might if he chews on his wound a little bit. And he didn't even have a cast. He just has staples, and then he's shaved. Like, a fifth of him is shaved. It's really hilarious.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, and I'll see if we can post something through our Facebook page. So
yeah.
If everyone's curious about it, we can incorporate
it.
It is kind of
amusing.
Yeah, we'll get some more. And right now he's laying on the couch drugged. But this cat indirectly has cost us an incredible amount of money. He caused some sort of stress reaction with our other cat, and we ended up having to give her surgery, which she didn't really need, and that was a poor vet diagnosis, which cost us a pretty penny. And
ooh,
then
boy.
This surgery cost us a pretty penny, which I'm not allowed to talk about because I'm forbidden to talk about actual price points.
Yeah.
But anyway, our dopey cat's back, and he's chauvin.
He's literally dopey right now.
He is dopey, and he will be that way for a while. So if you want to send your best wishes to Turk, please feel free and do so. So that takes care of cats, Jared. We covered cats, pizza, cable, and a ghost.
What did we leave out?
We left out toys, which is not at all important.
Yeah,
so
probably the most geeky of topics that we left out.
Yep. So,
so much for your geeky pop culture podcast, folks.
So
write your congressman. We don't care.
Exactly. And we have two of them now. So
yeah, two senators.
Two
Woo!
Senators. So coming up on this episode of The Scope, we're going to do more talking. We're doing our famous nerd roundtable. But since it's only the Jared and myself,
the Jared.
I'm calling it Nerd Roundtable for Two. It's an intimate experience. Mm.
Dim the lights, Shane.
Dim the lights. We'll also be doing a bunch of reviews coming soon, and the greatest reviews, whatever. I don't know. I'm just so messed up. I've talked so much. All the normal stuff we normally do.
Right.
So let's take a quick break, Jared, and then we'll be back with more of episode 77, Otoscope.
Hi, Jesse Thorne here, host and producer of The Sound of Young America. Our show's been such a successful podcast that some people don't know that it's also a nationally syndicated public radio show. As such, I'm obligated to ask deep, probing questions, even of young, starry-eyed comedians like John Mulaney.
Should we fight?
Huh?
I think we should fight.
Should we break a broomstick in half and just go at it?
Just go to town!
Yeah, I could never fight you, though, because you are a fellow sufferer of babyface old radio voice.
Yeah!
Which we're both afflicted with.
Check out The Sound of Young America and a whole bunch of other podcasts at MaximumFun.org.
Yes, indeed. We are back with more of your favorite podcasts. Another podcast can be your second favorite podcast. The Scope is the best podcast, Jared.
Yes.
And we are back with the Nerd Roundtable for two.
Aww.
Adam is not here. We did not get any special guests, but we still have a litany of topics that are somewhat nerd slash geek related, and we're going to cover them.
Yeah.
In a prompt and fair manner.
When do you want to start?
I think we start right now. I'm going chronologically. There's a lot of things in the world of entertainment. In the world, Jared, that's just been happening in the past few weeks that we've missed out on. So I think everyone wants to know.
Yes.
What do Jared and Shane think about the death of Michael Jackson?
You're going for the big one right off the bat.
I'm going chronologically. So
chronologically.
So let's do this.
It just happens to be the big one.
I wonder if Hollywood's trying to off itself. You know, everyone keeps dying and they end it with Michael Jackson. Let me ask you.
And our latest potential casualty is Misha Barton.
Yeah,
in psych lockdown. Anyway,
she is a wacko. But Jared, let me ask you.
Yes.
Were you surprised about the death of Michael Jackson? Did you care?
I cared. I was. Yes, I was surprised that it happened.
Shimon, Jared.
I wasn't. Once I thought about it, I wasn't surprised that it happened. that could make sense.
He sounds like a major mess.
Yeah,
I mean, or
as more details came out, it's like, ooh, wow, I'm surprised this didn't happen earlier.
Yeah.
But at the time it happened, I was just like, whoa! And I heard about it first on Twitter.
Did you hear about it from me when I Twittered that he was being rushed to the hospital?
Actually, I heard about it from MC Lars first on Twitter, and then I saw it on our Scope fan page. Which came from you, and
wow,
lots of updates, and then I saw the tweet that he was dead.
And
I'm like, what?
Yep.
And I checked the TMZ link, and they're reporting he was dead before anyone. And there you go.
What a scoop!
Yeah.
What a scoop!
I don't know. I mean, what do we want to talk about that hasn't been already covered? That's
so.
The
I'm
thing.
Curious about Michael Jackson's impact in your life. Did you ever cry at his concert?
I never cried at his concert.
Did you?
But
ever?
I did go to his concert.
Yeah, you are one of the few people I know that did that.
The only time he really came here was for his Bad Tour for three dates in 1989, was it?
You ain't fat, you ain't nothing. Yeah, I think it was right around there.
That was really it. I don't. Maybe he got here earlier in his, you know, the 70s or something.
What kind of show was it?
It was a huge show. It started over an hour late, which was kind of annoying, but...
Let me interrupt you real fast. Were there multiple Michael Jackson shows?
There was 3 days. He did three shows here. Yes,
that's unusual for Minneapolis. Actually,
It's not unusual for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Though I kind of looked back at his tour schedule just out of curiosity to see, you know, on any chance that he may have come here on another date. And it seemed like he liked to, rather than do, you know, one night in a bunch of towns, you know, like 6 days a week, he would set up camp in a town and do three, four, five dates,
like a revival.
Then have several days off,
yep.
You know, and maybe that's just a logistics thing because he had a pretty elaborate stage show and everything.
Did he actually sing his songs, or was he lip syncing?
I'm pretty sure he was singing, and he was a dancing fool. There was lots of costume changes.
Were you impressed by the show?
Yeah, it was a great show. I mean, it was like 2.5 hours long, hit all the good, you know, the hits.
Yeah, this is the point. Michael Jackson hadn't quite turned too nutty. I mean, his appearance had changed slightly from Thriller, but not that much.
He was starting to get his pseudo-military look going. And
his
quasi-military look. Is that better, Shane? Quasi-military?
As Chris Rock said, he dresses up like Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Michael Jackson really, I mean, he wasn't associated with too much of his love of children or his just hatred of the press, you know, following him, not giving him the chance, just He hadn't quite turned that corner of craziness yet.
At least not publicly.
No. I think that
it seems like he was well on his way to crazy, though.
Yeah. I mean, people forget that even at the height of his popularity, he was he was holding a chimp, and Emmanuel Lewis, who was probably 18 at the time, like he was a little baby boy.
Yeah.
It was very, very sort of strange, but he was so popular that it didn't really matter.
That's exactly it. He was so popular and was still contributing musically to the world that people overlooked those eccentricities. Once the music started drying up and he started, you know, took a turn for the worse in the crazy department,
Jared and I are old souls, and we're older than a lot of our listeners. So I think that we can explain to everyone just how popular he was.
Forget about it.
I mean, for a series of a few years. I mean, in the Thriller time, and then he disappeared a little bit, and then came back with Bad. But those couple years with Thriller were just unbelievable.
Completely transformed music. Forget about it.
He was everywhere. He impacted the world of video. He impacted the video network that played him. He impacted popular music.
He impacted awards shows.
Everything.
Yeah.
Some might say he impacted little boys. Hi-yo.
No.
Come on.
I'm not even going to give you a rim shot on that one.
I don't think I was ever a gigantic fan of Michael Jackson. I thought he was kind of cool, but I never did the dress up.
No,
I never.
I didn't take
dance lessons.
No, Corey Feldman level of love for him.
I had friends that did, though. I mean, at that time, also breakdancing, he kind of brought that to the forefront of popular culture, and a lot of people. I mean, I guess he didn't really breakdance, but sort of that style of dance.
Yeah,
he led that.
He kind of
revolution. Elevated
a lot of black culture just by being as popular as he was.
Yes,
I'm not going to give him the credit that Al Sharpton gave him, where he single-handedly reunited blacks and whites in harmony. But he certainly made it easier for people to accept black culture.
And I don't care what Al Sharpton says. Yes, what Michael Jackson had to go through was weird, but he also was one weird dude.
Yes,
he was a weird dude, and he ruined.
There's nothing weird about your daddy.
Nothing weird about your daddy.
Sorry, Al.
Yeah, he.
He was a nutcase.
I think that Michael Jackson sabotaged his career at the end, and you know he just for whatever reason, if you kind of look at his transformation from who he was in the late 70s, early 80s to the way he ended up. I mean, you just have to shake your head. No matter the issue of it being, you know, he had a skin disease, or you know his dad tormented him and made him feel ugly, or just he wanted to recapture and hold on to that youthful thing. But I think there were far too many people in his life telling him he can do whatever he wants to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And not enough people saying, "Listen,
and
you're ruining it."
And he's not alone. There's anyone who gets to that peak of popularity and fame, and at one point wealth, is going to have people around them that are probably don't have his or her best interest.
It's a constant distortion field of reality going on, and his distortion field was so powerful that he actually impacted some of his relatives. Look at LaToya; she has the same nose that he does, and none of those kids look like that. Give me a break. His mom had surgery on her nose. His father, which by the way, throughout all of these proceedings, nobody talks about his father. He is clearly the villain, the bad guy. I mean, even beyond the things that he said about Blu-rays and stuff like that.
I am not a Joe Jackson fan.
He's a douchebag.
Any respect. And his plans that he supposedly has for the kids already?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I think at some point you have to take responsibility for your life, and you have to overcome the pressures and the terrible things that your parents did to you, if they did such a thing. But I think Joe Jackson can be considered, go down in history as someone who had a role in Michael Jackson's death. At the end of the day, I think so.
Yeah. Now, do you think that that Michael Jackson warranted the amount of coverage that he got in the media? And this includes his star-studded memorial service at the Staples Center.
I think it's kind of a delicate and tricky question. Just because in the last 15 years, Michael Jackson was a punchline. I mean, he was a joke. No one treated him seriously. And that was the end of the story. So it's amazing how quickly people change.
Oh, this was the best career movie he could have made.
Yes, and you know what? I think that happens a lot when people die, especially people that maybe have been villainized. Is that a word, Jaron?
It is now.
It is a word.
Or
just
villainized.
or just looked at as a weird or circus freaks. If they have some sort of talent, people tend to forget that. I mean, I think that happens with anyone, you know. You forget about the bad because life is too short. The problem is that usually when people forget about the bad, life is over for that person, and it doesn't do them any good. So I think that it's, you know, I think Michael Jackson's talent did warrant the approval and the praise that it got. I find the way it was treated slightly hypocritical. More than hypocritical, yeah. Actually. It bothered me.
I mean, some of it just feels like all the coverage was there because they knew people would watch it.
Of course.
And I was amazed, honestly, how fast the news networks got specials on the TV the day he died.
Of course.
It was like,
it's like
what?
They had a package ready just in case.
They had a package ready and not, I mean, they had current voiceover on it, which was kind of spooky. I'm like, how are they doing this?
Well, they knew people would watch. People are sick of all the news that's going on, and you concentrate on a star like Michael Jackson and his untimely demise, and you know, you're going to get ratings. You're going to get people tuning in.
Yep.
I thought that the star-studded, I'll put that in air quotes, memorial was a little over the top, but yet I thought it was reserved enough, and I thought it was somewhat respectful, because I watched almost the whole thing with Carrie.
I didn't watch any of it. I saw clips of it on the news, but that was it.
You probably saw a lot of the most egregious nastiness of it.
Saw Paris making her little thing, and then Jermaine singing the song, and Al Sharpton, of course.
Yeah, I think that there was spectacle there, but it was reserved and probably appropriate for the moment. Although I thought,
I was just creeped out that they brought his gold casket to the step, and it's like, what?
That was the worst.
Like he was some sort of holy figure, and people were there to collect relics or something. I don't know.
It's bizarre. And you know, the other creepy part with that was that a lot of times the speaker stood on a stage above it and maybe referenced to it, pointed to it.
Yeah.
But when Usher came and sang a song, he walked right over to the casket and almost was touching it and looking at it. And I thought it was very, very bizarre and very creepy.
Yeah.
Very creepy. I'm not a big Usher fan, but that one sort of blew my mind. And we all know that Usher can do a song just by taking the basic things from GarageBand.
As proven here on this very show.
Exactly. We've done it.
He likes to make love in this club.
So the end of the story is, what's your final word on Michael Jackson, Jared? What do you make of all this if you had to summarize it into something?
Extremely talented, gave a lot to the world as far as music goes. You'll never see another pop star that popular again. Sad, tragic end.
Yeah, I would say a completely stupid and senseless death that did not have to happen. I mean, that's how I feel about it. Just, I think about it like, there is no reason why this guy should be dead. He had everything. He worked very hard for what he had, but he had everything someone could ask for, and he pissed it all away at the end of the day through fault of his own, the people around him, and his family, and the pressures of life. And it's a shame that someone with that much talent couldn't find a way to put that together. But they often say the most talented are also the most tormented, much like Jared and myself on this show.
Very true. Very, very true.
Let's move on to topic number two. Slightly happier story, Jared.
Yep.
Convergence.
Yep.
We did a special presentation, a voicemail show. I think it turned out very well. I've gotten good feedback from it.
It was a lot of work, but you know what? I think it was...
Bravo to you, by the way.
Thank you.
Sir, bravo to you.
Let's do a little... There we go. If I take it all in as far as the work level, I think that the amount of work I had to do in post was probably offset by the amount of work I didn't have to do at the actual con to record a show.
Yes.
The fact that we just had to have a phone. That was it. You know, I was a little disappointed that we didn't have really anyone but our own friends call in, but I guess I expected that too.
You know what we need to do, Jared, the next time?
And yes.
For those people that don't know, how we advertise it was through our show, but obviously a lot of our listeners don't go to Convergence. But we did. I did some signage, and I think they were fine signs. But I think for you to get people to do something like that, they have to be big. I think they have to be unusually large, and the number has
everything,
to just hit you.
Everything blends in. That's the thing. For my band performing, I printed up like 60 flyers, and while it was fun, I enjoyed the process of making them and posting them. I don't think that they had any effect on the crowd.
No.
Honestly, everyone who was in that room, I pretty much expected to be there.
Anyway. Yeah.
So maybe if we drew five extra people, there you go. So I think I'm done printing up mass quantities of them because it's overload. There's so many flyers on the wall.
I think you have to have something that makes a splash, like whether you tape six pages together or something like that.
I think
that.
That's the next approach is you find a spot and you put up 20 of them.
Yeah.
And then
will they let you do that?
Sure. Why not?
All right. Fair enough. I think calm down.
Do a moment's egg. You do something big or something. I don't see any reason why not.
Something that stands out.
There's no point in putting one flyer, you know, in 30 different locations next to every other flyer.
Half the people are drunk, so you need something that just pow, man.
Most people aren't looking at those things anymore. It's part of the culture. It's kind of neat to see them all on the wall. Yeah. But most people just kind of wander around and go check out the parties.
It gets lost as noise.
So anyway.
So that's that story. We didn't get those calls, but that's okay. Jared put together a fine, fine show. How would you rank this in the world of cons for you? Top, let's say top 30th, middle 30th, or lower 30th?
I'd say it was top 30th for me. It's there's only one con that will be number one for me, and that's MarsCon 2008. That will reign supreme forever, probably.
That was the year
unless something else momentous happens in a future con, who knows?
Was the year that Jared and I shared our first kiss.
Yeah, I shared a first kiss, but not with you.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
It wasn't a stressful con for me. I got to Thursday, put up flyers, I got to relax for a while and enjoy Thursday. Friday, you know, got my usual pre-show tensions. My band performed Friday night at 10 o'clock, which was a great slot. We had a great crowd. And then after that, I had Friday night to enjoy. I had all of Saturday to enjoy. And Sunday turned into another full day at the con.
Another partying day.
Essentially, we were there, which has become a tradition for me now since Angie and I have been together, is hanging out with the Klingon group on Sunday night, going out to dinner, and finishing up some of their booze, hitting the hot tub, and yeah.
There we have it.
Going home late. So it was really a five-day con for me.
That's a lot. That's a lot of partying. I got to tell you, for me, it wasn't as much fun this year, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
We had so many events and parties and things leading up to it, and just busy. My family's been busy. Mm-hmm. That it was a rush to get there, and by the time I got there, I didn't really feel like drinking. I just didn't feel it this time around. I don't know why. It just wasn't there for me. So, I mean, I had a good time. I love the panel where I got to see some of the original people from Mystery Science Theater. That was a highlight for me because they gave a lot of insight into the show when it originally aired here in Minneapolis.
Was that in the big room?
That was in the big room. Yeah. And they were very funny. They had some stuff prepared. It was a very good time. Hmm. I enjoyed that part. So let me throw this out at you, Jared.
Yes.
I was talking to some of our friends. I will not name names. Maybe I'll let you guess.
Okay.
And two of our friends said they may not. They don't plan on coming back next year. They said that they feel like it's not for them. They feel like maybe they're a little too old for it, and the vibe just was not there. What do you think of that? Do you think we're getting too old for this, Jared? We used to be the young kids in the block. Are we too old?
I don't think so. I mean, there's people much older than us there.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I guess if you can't make it a priority, like convergence to me is something you need to kind of dive into fully.
Is it kind of like a vacation? Like, if you're going to plan a vacation, you got to get ready to do it.
I think you need to have your affairs in order at home. If you have pets, you need to have them kenneled or have someone covering them.
Or killed.
If you have children, you need to have someone watching your children. It's best experienced if you can get a room at the hotel or at least one of the satellite hotels.
Yeah.
I think you really need to be there because if you're spending your time traveling to and from, fighting with parking, it really takes a lot away from it. Mm-hmm. Ever since I've started staying at the hotel, I'll never not stay at the hotel.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, I think you need to really find things to do. You need to accept that this is your vacation. This is what you're going to do. You know, don't be like, oh, I don't want to go to panels. Panels are stupid.
Are you talking to me? Is that what you're doing?
No. You found something you wanted to do. Yeah. Now, I mean, legitimately, if it's not something you want to do, then that's fine. But
see, I don't go for panels. I go mostly for the social aspects of things.
Sure.
But you know, if there are special guests there that are talking about things they've done, I'd be more likely to go to those panels. I like that. I like that aspect better.
Right. Now, am I supposed to guess who these people are?
If you want
to. Are they two people who... Are they... Are they kind of a unit?
Yeah, they are kind of a unit.
Okay. Because I have my guess.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to say Mike and Sarah.
I think you're right, yes. Okay. And they came to that... Actually, I don't know if either of them called into the scope line. Both of them have been on the show in some capacity. But, yeah, Mike and Sarah said they're not in. It's Mike's birthday this weekend, and we're going to bust his balls and...
Now, Sarah, I could see not caring.
Which she goes to bed at 10.
Which she does. Yeah, their lives have... Yeah. They've... How do I say this?
Uh-oh, we're going to throw them under the bus.
I just think that since they had their child, they've changed.
I love my child, but, I also love the time that I get to spend away from her.
And I think Sarah's, I don't know if they listen to the show or not. I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but this is just my observation. Sarah's changed more than Mike has. Mike still wants to have fun on occasion. Sarah's definitely into her pattern or her routine. And hey, if that works for her, that's fine.
We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll absolutely talk about it tomorrow.
So do you get the impression that one is more into not coming than the other?
I don't know. I didn't talk to Mike about it. I only talked to Sarah about it.
Sarah, I could see just cutting ties and never looking back. I could see still wanting to have fun as long as he gets to hang around with enough of his friends.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Mike disappeared for one of those nights. He was just gone. I didn't see him. So, that's his problem, not mine. But we'll talk about this and we'll get an update on the show.
Okay.
So, listen, Jared, I've got one more topic, but I think I'm going to push it into the news block.
Oh.
So, let's do that. Let's wrap up this nerd roundtable. We've been talking a long time, so I want to get...
Wow.
I just want to keep pushing on.
We've only gotten two topics in on the nerd roundtable.
I know.
Stop playing around. We're going to have a nerd triangle here, Shane. A triangle table.
It's going to be two-dimensional table.
Yeah.
I don't know how you deal with that, but...
Well, you serve sushi on it, Shane.
From certain angles, it just disappears.
Yes.
So, this has been the nerd roundtable for two, and by two, I mean two topics.
We're not doing a third?
No, we're not going to do
a third. I thought we were going to do a third.
Well, I don't want to talk about it. I've decided I'm looking at my topic.
You're not
list.
Coming back next year, are you?
I'm not. I don't want to talk about it. Maybe we'll... Yeah, I think I might save it for Adam, because I think it's a good story that Adam might respond to. So...
not much of a table, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but we've been talking for...
Got MJ and some convergence, that's it.
We've been talking for about an hour. So
and we talked a lot about cats, right.
Let's do this. And the cats are the cornerstone of any table. Nerd Roundtable...
You're not going to get an argument for me on that one.
Nerd Roundtable's over, everyone.
It's more of an end table. Nerd end table.
One of those cheapos from IKEA.
I'm going to put my coaster on it.
Nice. That's all you can fit is one drink, soft drink. We're going to jump out of the Nerd Roundtable, but we're going to jump into Scope Sounds.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! I should probably play the song. Yes, this is a song called Push from a band called the CD Seeds. I know nothing about them.
Yeah.
Broadcasting from high atop the IDS, it's The Scope.
Under the Scope. Under the Scope, number 77 coming at you.
Yeah!
Very exciting. We're bringing the energy in this segment.
More cat talk, right?
No cat talk. Oh. There's only three things we talk about Under the Scope, Jared.
I thought we just did two, Michael Jackson and Convergence.
No, we talk about kicking ass, chewing bubblegum, and talking about the news.
Woo!
I think that was a fairly good transition there, if you want to know the truth.
Okay.
Fairly good. So, our first story of the day, not read by Adam or Adamatic, would be the Emmy nominations. They were just announced yesterday, for those of you that care about the chronological nature of our show. Jared has no idea what these nominations are, so I'm just going to point out...
I'm not even sure what an Emmy is, Shane.
He's not. It's some sort of... what is that? Some sort of medical device, perhaps. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so listen... let's go over some of these nominations. Some surprises this year. We're not going to cover everything. We're going to go very quickly. Jared, best comedy series this year. I'm going to read you the list. I want your opinion.
Okay.
Entourage.
Okay.
Family Guy.
Mm.
Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother.
Ooh.
The Office.
Interesting.
30 Rock and Weeds.
Oh, my. That's a lot of nominees.
A note on Family Guy. It's the first animated comedy to ever to be nominated for best comedy since The Flintstones in 1959. Simpsons were never nominated for best comedy. They've tried, they've applied, but they've never won. Or they never.
And now that they've passed through their glory years, they probably never will. Unless it's some sort of, you know, we're going to give it to you because of your lifetime.
From what I understand, Jared, they don't actually submit themselves for best comedy. They've tried before and been burned, so they only submit themselves for best animated show.
Okay.
So that's one reason why they may not be there. So, yeah, I think we've got a couple surprises here. Entourage, I watched all of the last season. I think that that's BS, if you want to know the truth. Weeds, I've never seen. Let's talk about 30 Rock for a second before we get to the obvious things to talk about.
Weeds in the comedy?
That's what they gave it for.
Okay.
I've never seen it, so.
I have this first season on Netflix streaming that I might check it out.
Hey, you should do that.
I don't expect to laugh that much, though.
30 Rock has great moments.
Yes.
And has great episodes.
Yes.
But consistently funny... I don't know if it is. Maybe there's just not that
much
to choose
from. Not even within the same
from.
Episode, it's not consistently funny. But it still makes up for it for those golden moments you get.
When that show hits, it hits perfectly. And it is hilarious. But you know what? We've talked about this before. You know, it's never... It has not made our lists of best comedies for the year. Maybe except for the first year that it came out. Maybe we were just blinded by the... by the star power that is Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey. And Tracy Jordan. That's my Tracy Jordan imitation.
It's Tracy Jordan here.
Yeah. I don't know if I sound like... I don't know.
Let it go.
Yeah, I'm just going to let it go. But I think that that show is questionable on that list. What do you say?
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's several shows I'm not familiar with. If you're... A lot of the comedies I know are just on regular network TV, and 30 Rock is certainly one of the best, so why not?
Better than The Office or worse than The Office?
Occasionally better, but overall, no.
I think The Office is a better show overall as well. Office doesn't have a lot of those really crazy, wacky moments, but they always tend to do pretty well with the jokes. That's what I think. How I Met Your Mother, I was just talking to Molly, fan favorite Molly, about this.
Yep.
I still think How I Met Your Mother is an uneven sitcom that sometimes it succeeds very well.
Right.
Sometimes I think that the episodes are weak. And I
try too hard or it's just, a little too hip or something.
I think that it's saved by some of the great character actors on the show. Obviously, we're talking about Doogie Howser. Patrick Harris, by the way, nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series.
Weeds, right?
For Weeds. And then the other show that we really haven't talked too much about is Flight of the Conchords.
Haven't seen second season other than the first episode.
I'll just tell you that the first season, in my opinion, is better than the second season. But I think that the show is so crazy and offbeat that it probably deserves it. Let's look at Best Actor in a Comedy Series, Jared. I think we might just cover comedy just because of the other stuff. Who gives a rat's ass?
I hear you.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Steve Carell.
Okay.
Jim Parsons on The Big Bang Theory, one of your favorites. And then the guys that never are always nominated, Tony Shalhoub and Charlie Sheen. And there's one name I'm missing, Jared, and I'm going to throw it in right now.
Yeah.
Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords got nominated. Yes.
Interesting.
Some people say that really it's a team between Jermaine and Brett.
Brett.
But
it is, isn't it?
But I think Jermaine's probably the funnier of the two. Do you agree or disagree?
Or
is he just funnier looking?
I think so. I mean, Brett seems to be the more of the straight man, if you're going to do a comedy duo, yeah.
So
I would go with that.
I think Alec Baldwin probably wouldn't.
Although everyone knows Murray's the funniest.
Yeah, Murray not nominated for Best Supporting Actor, and he probably should be. Best Actress in a Comedy Series, who cares? Everyone knows that women aren't funny.
I agree.
Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, John Cryer.
You're not going to list off the women?
Okay, Christina.
Come on.
The canceled Christina Applegate show, Samantha Who.
No, they won't give it to
Toni Collette for United States of Terror. Never seen it.
Probably she'll win.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus, she could win. Tina Fey probably will win. Mary Louise Parker and Sarah Silverman for the Sarah Silverman program.
I think I didn't like that show. I think Toni Collette's going to win that one.
Mary Louise Parker, when Weed sneaks in there, that one, that always, you know, that cable, hip cable show. But you're saying the same with Toni Collette, so there we go. Supporting actor in a comedy series, John Cryer, not good enough to get Best Actor for 2.5 Men. Kevin Dillon for Entourage. Neil Patrick, as we mentioned. Jack McBrayer for 30 Rock. Tracy Morgan for 30 Rock, and Rainn Wilson for The Office.
Wow.
See, I think that if you could take one or two shows for 30 Rock, that Jack and Tracy probably deserve it. But
how is NBC not the number one network?
I don't understand, because they're always in there with those shows. I think if Neil Patrick Harris doesn't win this, it's a travesty.
Yeah, I agree.
Although I think Rainn Wilson is awfully funny and consistent. And then we'll do supporting actress in a comedy series. We've got Kristen Chenoweth for Pushing Daisies.
Okay.
I like her, actually.
Sure.
Jane Krakowski, 30 Rock. Elizabeth Perkins, Weeds. Amy Poehler for SNL. Kristen Wiig for SNL. Mm. And Vanessa Williams for Ugly Betty.
That's a tough one.
I actually like Kristen quite a bit.
Yeah.
That woman is funny.
Yeah, but this past season of SNL wasn't that great.
I had some good shows. A lot of those good shows, a lot of those people that were on those good shows are nominated for Best Guest Actor in a Comedy Series.
Okay.
Actually, one person, Justin Timberlake. SNL.
Yeah.
Which, that was a great episode.
He always brings it.
And let's just look at the best drama series, and then we'll go on to the next news story. Big Love, Breaking Bad, Damages, Dexter, House. I didn't realize this. Lost is nominated, and
wow.
Mad Men. So I'm going over the list, Jared, and you know how many shows are from the major networks on this list? Two.
No, two, wow.
House and Lost. I thought Lost was ridiculously good this season.
I agree. But here's the thing, is it's inaccessible to people who haven't watched the first few seasons.
And my wife will tell you that Big Love was un-effing believable this year. She loved Big Love this year.
That's just a show
loved
that I don't seem to be interested in it in any way.
I kind of feel the same way, but I think if I were to watch it, I would like it. One show that's not on any of this list, which I finally watched a couple episodes recently, has been Burn Notice.
Yes.
And I think it's got a really great pace and a lot of fun to watch, so check that show out. Guys, I'm sorry we're not funny today. I think we're straight ahead news. I don't know what the deal is. Jared, any opinions on that?
I said it at the beginning of the show, Shane. It's Friday evening. I think we're a little tired. We're a little burned out from the week. I know you've had a rough week. PowerPoint has not been your friend.
No, it has not.
Yeah.
I think a super fan, Carrie, is going to listen to the show, and she's going to say, just not a good show, guys.
Yeah.
Not a good show.
We should throw some F-bombs in here just so we can do the explicit tag.
I was actually going to call her because super fan Carrie this week, this is no lie, was at a hotel bar and end up having drinks with a main producer and of the TV show Extreme Home Makeover.
Hey, Carrie, where the fuck are the pictures you promised?
I don't know. And Ty Pennington was there,
explicit
too, so
thing.
She had... Explicit. It's already there, I bet. Automatic.
It's the default.
It's the default. And she had drinks with Ty and a producer of the show. And I guess she knew the producer from
And then
somewhere.
She slept with the producer.
Yep. Not Ty. She couldn't bag Ty, which he's pretty tough.
Allegedly. I have no proof of any of this.
Story number two, Jared. North Dakota thief. I read this morning, by the way. Do you hear the story? North Dakota thief leaves a note admiring man's amazing taste in music and advises that car owner to lock up.
What?
A man said...
After stealing it?
A man said it's a tough way to learn a lesson, but he's a lot wiser. Someone made off with Mark Neary's driver's license and other items from his unlocked car early Wednesday and left a message behind. Neary said he found a note telling him he had amazing taste in music. The note said the thief had taken credit cards and his driver's license and advised him to lock your car in the future. Neary said it could have been worse. The keys were in the ignition and the thief could have driven off with the car. What's kind of a bummer part of the story is the guy just got laid off this week. And he said the joke is on the thief. There was only about $20 on the debit cards that he took, so he wasn't going to be spending too much money. Some of the CDs he had in his car included some stuff by B.B. King, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and I don't know, somebody else, Amy Winehouse maybe, something like
Shame
that.
Shame, we have breaking news.
Breaking news, go ahead.
Walter Cronkite died at age 92.
Oh my goodness, I heard that he was not doing well.
Yeah.
Do you have a Walter Cronkite memory, please?
No, I don't think I've... Yeah. He's before my time, so...
Only thing I know about Walter Cronkite is he did the voiceover for Katie Couric's CBS Evening News.
I was checking the Twitters. Once again, Shane, Twitter comes through...
Social networking, social programming at its best, Jared.
Yep. News legend Cronkite died at 92.
I would love to tap into the world of the internet, but I don't have access to your wireless network. Although you could have access to mine if you came to my house because you helped me set it up. Story number three, Jared.
Yep.
Man charged with... let me start over. Man charged $23 quadrillion for smokes.
I saw this too.
A New Hampshire man said he swiped his debit card at a gas station to buy a pack of cigs and was charged over $23 quadrillion. That sounds like a made-up number, you know, like if I ask my child how much is that worth and... That's 45 billion trillion gazillion dollars.
23 quadrillion!
John Musinski checked his account online a few hours later and saw the 17-digit number, a stunning 23 quadrillion. I can't even...
A bunch, and
a lot of other numbers.
Trillion, billion, yeah. Million, thousands.
Musinski said hundreds. He spent 2 hours on the phone with Bank of America trying to sort out the string of numbers and the $15 overdraft fee. Like, yeah, I mean,
That's automated.
How does that conversation go? That's what I want to know.
That charge is automated, but I would like to know if Bank of America refunded that charge, because that's bullshit.
Yes. By the way, the bank corrected the error the next day. Okay. They couldn't get it done the same.
Clearly, it's a problem, because that's way too much money.
I totally agree.
Even Michael Jackson didn't have that much.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Shamaun, Jared. Okay, so... what?
I'm just laughing at the Shamaun.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite Michael Jackson memory. Shamaun.
Shamaun, huh?
How do you spell that? S-H-A-M-O-N?
Yeah, probably.
Jared.
Yeah.
Breaking news in the world of Rock Band. Everyone knows that I have a hard-on for Rock Band, the video game. I talk about it all the time.
I thought the table was a little unlevel.
I wait for the new song releases, the announcement for the new songs for next week every Friday.
And I usually get an IM
And I tell
after.
You right away. And Jared's thinking, oh, these are songs I'll probably get to play at a party sometime.
Yeah, yes, because I know I won't buy them. Yep.
And this week, by the way, one of my favorite bands of 2008 finally makes it to Rock Band, Kings of Leon, Kick-Ass. And only do they make it to Rock Band this week, Jared, they beat Guitar Hero 5, who announced them for their new game, which comes out in September.
Oh.
And they bring the same song to the table. And they do it a month and a half ahead of time.
Now, Guitar Hero, does that sell more than Rock Band?
It does. It kills Rock Band, actually.
Sad, really.
I think it's sort of one of those things where people are just... It was the first to market, and people just buy Guitar Hero.
They know the name.
But if people knew that you could get at least six songs every week for Rock Band, brand new songs, where Guitar Hero may do three a week, if that, and pretty much all of the content is interchangeable from Rock Band 1 to 2 and... Even though they haven't announced it, my guess is Lego Rock Band will be... the songs will be able to be pulled into the Rock Band system.
They have to.
Just because they have songs like Vampire Weekend and stuff that you know that needs to be in the bigger system. So that kicks ass in itself. But there's bigger news for
bigger
Rock
news,
Band.
Bigger news, Shane!
And I was talking to Jared about this. So Guitar Hero has this program where you can make music and then play it. And I guess it's a colossal failure. It doesn't work well. You can't bring in lyrics... Or vocals, obviously.
It seems like a good idea that you just can't really implement well in a console.
It just doesn't work. So Rock Band said, we're not going to do that. We've got plans. And they said this about a year ago.
Well, Twisted Sister's in the background. We're not going to take it.
They're not
going to
take
loudly.
It. They said, we've got plans. We'll tell you when we're ready. And today they
aren't
did.
Aren't they snooty?
And what they've done now is they have teamed up with the people at Microsoft. And they have this sort of programming club. And what they're going to allow is for anyone from people like Jared all the way up to indie record labels.
I like how you're putting me at the bottom of the
You're at the bottom
scale.
Of the chain, Jared.
Right.
Indie record labels awesome. All the way up to major record labels to make your own Rock Band songs, submit them to some sort of critiquing system, and then if they get the okay, they'll be put into the Rock Band music store. I think it's like a community music store or something like that.
I like that. Tell me more, Shane.
So really, really what you can do is anyone who has music and can pull out these specific tracks, you know, so you need a drum line, you need bass, guitar,
vocals. You need access to the masters, Shane.
Access to the masters. Jared, do you have masters for all of your music?
Of course.
So you can chart your own notes. So by charting, you can, you know, assign the different button pushes to all the different notes.
Seems like a lengthy process.
It probably is, but you know what? The people at the Rock Band World, they can't churn out any more music, so they figured this is a great way of being able to just boost the music catalog.
And I suppose you need to do it at different every skill level, too, don't you? So, that could take a long time.
I guess what they do is you start and you do the hardest level first, expert, and then you just strip it away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which I hear, once you sort of get used to that process, it's pretty easy to do.
Well, if you're doing the expert level, you're pretty much like every note.
Yep. So that's exactly
you just hit every note, and once you got that in, okay.
So this is a good opportunity. It may cost you, if you're not a member of this Xbox developers community, I think it might cost you $100 a year to participate in that.
Probably not worth it if you have a couple songs.
Yes, but you never know. Maybe you team up with somebody. I don't know how that works, but... yeah, they give you access to a couple different development tools, and then you put this stuff together, you submit it, you get feedback.
Using Microsoft Windows 7, no doubt.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. But I just figure it's tying to Microsoft somehow.
Yeah, you make this, and then you make your song, you upload it, you submit it to the community, and then the community critiques it and gives you tips and feedback, and then you go back and adjust it, and then eventually you can submit it for...
3 or 4 years down the road, you're ready to go.
It could be that
it ages.
Long.
It ages in a white oak barrel for 3 years.
Very nice.
Yeah,
like a fine wine or a lutefisk.
Yes,
and then
a Tennessee whiskey.
And then you can put it up on the system, and then make some money on it. And
right. on the Xbox 460.
And Sub Pop, the record label Sub Pop, said they're already planning on putting up some of their lesser known acts or maybe cult or niche bands into this system. So
nice.
you could actually see music from big name artists pop up on this. Maybe they want to get into the system, and Harmonix hasn't
like
been
a able Kanye to do West.
It. Yeah, you never know. You never know, Jared.
I hear he's big.
Can you name one or two possible Oscar songs that would fit this bill?
Well,
perfectly?
I'm presuming they'd have to be something to which I would own the publishing, so it'd have to be an original song. So there's probably two songs I could do.
What's two songs?
Three. At the Con is an original.
Oh, that's
that's
a fan favorite, Jared.
It is a fan favorite. And, let me think here. Wilhelm Scream, I suppose, but it's more of a hip hop track, but they have it's a rock and hip hop track. So that could get in there. And then there's some new songs coming that might work.
Oh, new songs, everyone.
Yeah.
That's the breaking news. Forget this Rock Band.
If you were at the concert at Convergence, you heard the new songs.
Very exciting stuff, Jared.
Yep.
So that's the Rock Band news. We'll keep you posted on that, and I will keep working on Jared to buy that developer's license, because I would love to have a party where we could do
yes,
possible Oscar songs.
Because $100 annual is perfect expense for me to put three songs.
Just think
the
about
store.
It this way. Once you have your new album, you could probably have another 10 songs you could put on this, right?
Sure. Why not?
At the very least, we'll get to play Kings of Leon. That's all I'm going to say. That's what it comes down to, Sex on Fire. So that's our news, everybody. That's our three powerful stories. Let's push forward.
Pushing forward, Shane, through the wall. Let's go.
Let's do some reviews.
I'll give you a boost. Let's go.
So we've got three mini reviews, you know, based on Jared's twittering of instant reviews. I don't know if he's done any since we talked about it.
I was going to do it for these things that I'm going to talk about now, but then I thought I'd save it for the show,
Save
Shane.
It for the shizzy.
Save
so
it
Jared,
for
since
the
you've
show.
Got three, I'm going to let you do
Sifts.
You've
save it for the show.
I love it.
You've
got two reviews. I've got one. So this is how we're going to do it. You're going to do the first.
Okay.
I will do the second, and then you will follow it up with a third. So make the third one the best.
Wait, who's doing the second one?
I believe I will do it, unless we call Adam on the phone.
Okay. So you'll do the second.
I will do the second one. I believe.
I think I got it. Wait. I go first.
Please.
Okay. Shane, I've been enjoying over the summer with the lack of network TV programming. I've been enjoying my Netflix streaming.
Oh, yes.
Available on both my TiVo HD and my Xbox 360.
I've heard of that.
Yes. And I discovered a few weeks back that I could watch The Tudors.
Oh, The
on
Tudors.
Netflix streaming.
That's that show about where dumb kids are met with.
Indeed, it is. The Tutors. It's all about episode one is algebra. The second one is English as a second language. And the third one is home economics.
Isn't that a spinoff from the classic ABC sitcom head of the class?
Yes.
Okay.
It is Howard Hessman, isn't it?
And the Saved by the Bell people pop in for every once in a while.
Of course. No, Shane, this is
Howard Hessman.
This is actually an adaptation of history.
Oh, boy. Yawn fest.
The story surrounds a young Henry VIII in England as he goes through life.
Kills, maims, and has sex with people.
It deals with his great issue, I think they call it.
What is his great issue?
The king's great matter. And that is, he has married his dead brother's wife.
Ooh.
Because it was something tradition. I don't remember why, but we catch up in the midst of it. But then a few episodes into the show, he catches the eye of a young Anne Boleyn.
Oh,
and
my.
Then we have
things aren't going to go well for her, are they?
Things are not going to go well if you know your history.
Yeah.
But
sorry, spoiler alert, Jared.
I've watched the first two seasons, and it goes through the second season ends with Anne Boleyn and her end. So it talks, you know, you've got Henry trying to get his first marriage annulled so he can marry this other woman, so he can, his whole goal is to get a male heir, so he, you know, the bloodline will continue and all that stuff like that. And you've got all kinds of religious implications because the Catholic Church won't let him get his annulment. And
they're hard asses.
So now he's, you know, trying to get into being the head of the church, and there's going to be the split from the Catholic. It's, if you know your history, you know where the story's going.
Exciting stuff is what it is.
it's for me as a history buff, I really enjoyed it. Even though they do take liberties with the history.
Say what?
They do.
What kind of liberties do they take?
Some characters tend to be composites. They kind of shift timelines around to make the story more interesting. Like events, some events take a shorter amount of time to happen than you would expect.
Mm-hmm. What about the fact they include laser guns and Game Boys?
That
in
was
there?
Kind of odd.
Was that a surprise to
it
you?
It was a little odd, but it was well integrated. The CG was perfect, so I can't really fault them for that.
Mr. Tudor with your laser gun. Teach me math or I'll vaporize your face.
But here's the thing. It's a compelling program. There's lots of drama. The first half of season one, there's an awful lot of sex, too.
Yeah, I've heard that there's a lot of sex on the show.
Not as much later on because you get into the point where he's not, you know, he's trying to have his second marriage, and he's not having mistresses and everything like that.
Let me get to the real...
And he's not having sex with Anne Boleyn, and he's never really had sex with the first wife, and he's not having mistresses. The sex kind of goes away, but...
So let me ask you about the boobs. Are they fake boobs? What do these women look like?
Everything looks natural to me.
Okay.
But
you
anyway,
are the expert.
The show is beautifully photographed.
Especially the boobs.
The acting is incredible. It's just a very compelling program. My only real beef is... They do a lot of establishing shots on castles and locations and stuff like that. It's clearly CG.
Yeah.
It's good CG, except for the fact that what they always do with CG is they have the big, like, big swooping camera move, and it's like,
That's the George Lucas establishing
kind of,
shot.
Yeah.
All the prequel movies had all that crap.
It kind of, like, just says, hi, I'm a CG shot. If you just did, like, a gentle push-in or even a static shot, it would have been more convincing.
We have to pan around this because we can. That's the... It's like, you know, some sort of super helicopter. Yep.
Anyway, there's enough intrigue and excitement in the show that I burned. I hit puberty while I
watched
the show.
Wow, look at you.
My throat's getting a little dry here.
Take a drink, why don't you?
I don't have anything left.
Oh, my goodness.
I drank my beer.
Beer. Hear that?
I got my whistle.
Jared's getting wasted right on the show, everybody.
So
just
wasted.
For you.
Oh, my God.
My God, he's wasted.
Half a beer and I'm totally drunk.
Sexy.
I burned through two seasons, 20 episodes, nearly an hour each in 3 weeks.
Oh, way to go. You know, I watched one episode of that when I was on a business trip in which the hotel room I had did not have HBO. They had Showtime, so I got to watch Big Brother After Dark and The Tudors, and I kind of liked it, actually.
It's good. For some reason, I started to get fascinated with the titles and the styles and how people addressed each other and just the manners and stuff like that.
And the boobs.
And
the sex.
I also thought it was interesting how, while... At times, there's this strict code of etiquette in how you address people. Occasionally, you'd have, like, the king's closest friends, and there would be, like, a breakdown. Not a breakdown, but you could see that, you know, when they weren't... They didn't have to be...
Yeah, because they're human beings.
They didn't have to have the perfect etiquette. They could just be friends and, like, you know, pal around and stuff like that. It was really odd to see.
Do you think Mr. Obama, President Obama's friends do that with him?
Probably.
Probably.
I'm sure people back away from him. They don't actually turn their back on him.
Yeah.
Just like he was a kid. So I cannot wait for season three to be available. It's going to be too long. I probably shouldn't have burned through the first two seasons so quickly.
What a loser.
Yeah.
Hey, loser, give it a score.
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
Wow. Yeah. Boy, Adam's not here, and we all give him good reviews all the time. Everyone knows it.
Well, yeah.
It's been points.
I'm seeking out good stuff, Shane. I'm not looking for the shit.
Well, I'm wondering, do you think you could have fit that review into a Twitter post?
No.
It's too much, Jared.
That's a tough one.
It's too much. So I'm doing review number two, and I'm going to take on the Green Day concert. I went and saw them this weekend.
Shane, live music? What are you talking about?
I know. It's
I thought we were too old for that.
Very rare for me. I have to tell you that the tickets were fairly reasonably priced, and I don't see concerts all that much, so maybe that's something that clouds my judgment. You know, if you pay a lot, you don't see them very often, of course everything's going to be good. But in this case, Green Day put on a fantastic show. They played for about 2.5 hours, covering a lot of pretty much all their hits. I think they missed one top 10 or whatever, top 10 alternative track, but they covered everything else. They did a lot of stuff off American Idiot, a lot of stuff off their latest album, 21st Century Breakdown, I believe is the name of that album.
Checking his notes.
About 9,000 people at the Target Center, so not as...
I was surprised when I heard that number. I'm like, that really? I guess like economic not enough, times.
Like,
but
yeah, I think that really does play
And it's early in the tour, so maybe that's part of the problem, but...
Yeah,
Beyonce was here just a week later.
I know, and I'm sure she probably filled the joint, but... The cool thing about Green Day, for those of you who don't know, is that Billy Joe Armstrong is married to a Minnesota girl.
Yep.
So obviously there's going to be a lot of Minnesota references, and I was kind of joking with Jared on the old online that he made about 80 references to Minnesota, which he really did. I mean, everything was in Minneapolis. Like, we get it. We know that you know where you're at.
Yep.
We know that we have to cheer when you say Minneapolis, blah, blah, blah. But still, it's fun. And he would tell some stories about his first time here. The band was here, and they played a concert in a basement in Dinkytown in 1990. That was the first time they're here. So stuff like that, it's cool they remember that. And from what I know, they actually have a house in Minnesota, so they keep a residence.
Me.
So that was pretty cool. And they did some cool covers. Like, this was right after Michael Jackson dying, so they had a little bit of a funny tribute with the saxophonist dressing up like a Michael Jackson and moonwalking around the stage, and they sang a bit of a Jackson 5 song.
Although I'm a bit disturbed by a saxophone at a Green Day concert.
Yeah, it was strange,
but
there's a couple songs where they had some saxophone stuff.
I know. I haven't seen them for a number of years, and when they were... Last time I saw them was with Blink 182.
Yeah.
I think they might have
They opened for Blink, didn't they?
They were on a co-headlining tour, and I think they did open on that tour. But I think they had a second guitarist at that point, but that was it.
Yeah, they had a second guitarist, they had a backup singer, and then a guy who played piano, saxophone, and then accordion, actually, for a couple songs.
Doing some Weird Al covers?
Yeah, they totally were. And the highlight for me is they were doing this little bit where they'd play the beginning of a song, like they play Crazy Train and stop, then they play another song and stop, but then they started playing a Prince song, and they played all the way through Let's Go Crazy, which is one of my favorite Prince songs. I know that's easy to say, but it really is a lot of fun, and they did a respectable job. Favorite part of the show, which I've actually read that they do this at every venue, is they get, for one song, they get three different people to come up and sing the chorus and the main lyrics for that particular section, and that's always fun, and the kids will stage dive into the crowd.
To sing it, or do they make the make a band?
No, they sing it.
Okay. Do they do the make a band thing too?
What do you mean make a band?
Like, the two times I've seen them, they brought someone up to drum, play bass, and play guitar.
No, they didn't do that. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it was like a staple of their shows. I'm kind of surprised they didn't do that.
Yeah, they didn't do that, but in this case, they had someone come up and play the entire guitar part for Jesus of Suburbia.
Interesting.
And, you know, it took them 5-10 minutes to find someone that would actually admit, come up, and then, you know, actually be able to play it. But they got this girl came up, and they sat her down on a monitor, and she just cranked it out. I guess it's a really easy song to play. But I've told people this, I was proud for her. Just the fact that you go up there and you get this moment, you know, to be a rock star, to play the song, the main guitar for probably, I mean, it has to be your favorite band if she knows the song, right? I mean, who gets that opportunity to do that?
Very few people.
And to do it and then actually play the song pretty close to perfectly is an impressive thing to me. So I was proud for this young lady, and good for her. Good on you, as they say in Australia.
I was always sad that when the two shows that I was at, I was never close enough that I could say, I can play that song.
Could you play some of those songs?
I couldn't play them on guitar. I could drum them, the ones that they were doing at the shows.
So. Yeah, Green Day isn't known for their complex musical arrangements, are they?
No, I mean, the guitar is, you know, a lot of bar chords, and it's really not that hard. The drums are
Yeah, he's
usually
a good
pretty intricate.
What's his name?
That is, why can't I think of it? It's not Trey Cool. It's the other guy.
Yeah, it's Trey Cool.
No, is it Trey
Cool?
Yeah,
Trey Cool.
Oh, yeah, it's Mike Dirnt or yeah. Whatever. He's the bassist. Trey Cool is a dumb name, by the way. I always thought it was, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, he sort of stuck with it. Overall, good show, Jared. It was a strange mix of young kids and their parents. I mean, Green Day's been around for 20 years now, so yeah. They were popular when we were in college.
I saw
them
on their Dookie tour. So,
you know, now a lot of people have had kids maybe around that time, and now they'll bring their kids to the concert.
Interesting.
Let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
Big ratings here on the Scope,
Shane. We're going big, and Jared and I are
Shane, it's the summer of bold entertainment.
I think Jared just forgot where all the other sound effects were, and he's only playing the only star score he has.
My mouse is actually stuck on that one, so everything's 3.5 from now on.
Well, Jared, let's see if you give 3.5 for the next thing you're going to review.
Shane, you're going to notice a theme.
That's my
here.
Name.
This one also comes from Netflix.
Oh,
but
here
this,
we go. Paid off sponsor.
This one is a DVD that I had sitting around for a couple weeks, and I finally got around to watching it last night. And I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Edward Penis Hands?
Nope.
Oh.
This is the movie Taken, starring Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
Box office
surprise, Jared. It performed well.
I have no idea. I didn't pay much attention.
I'm telling you.
I saw the trailers, and I was very interested in it, and never got a chance to see it theatrically. But I like a good revenge film, and the premise of it basically is Liam Neeson is some sort of ex-CIA.
Like a super spy.
He's got a lot of skills.
He's got skills.
He's got a lot of skills.
Some ass.
And his daughter is kidnapped, and he catches the whole thing on the phone, and basically says, "I'm coming to get you. Look out." So he.
What do the kidnappers say when he says that? They laugh.
They say good luck and laugh. Yeah.
And they're like, "You don't have any idea what you sons of bitches are getting into, do they?"
No. So basically, the story is Liam Neeson is I think his character name is Brian. He's estranged from his wife, divorced, and his wife is married a rich man now, and. Has custody of her daughter, and the daughter is going to stay in Paris for a summer.
Uh-oh.
With a friend of hers, and they're supposedly staying at a house in Paris with some cousins of this friend. Only the cousins of this friend are actually away in Spain, and it's just the two girls who are staying in the house.
Sounds like trouble.
Yep, it's immediately trouble. They arrive, and I'm sorry if I'm giving away the story too much, but I got to give you a little bit. They arrive in Paris. Immediately some guy at the taxi stand starts chatting them up, asks if they want to share a cab. They say, sure, why not? And they drop the whole idea of this guy is he's looking for marks, people who they can kidnap to basically get into a white slavery ring.
Oh, it's not fun.
So
that's a family film.
They get to their apartment, and for some reason, Liam Neeson's daughter's friend stupidly says that they've got the whole place to themselves.
Oh, jeez.
So,
like my wife talking
trouble.
To the cable guys, where we're leaving.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be in Taken too.
So within a half an hour of them arriving at this place, bad guys come in and capture them. And Liam Neeson's daughter happens to be on the phone talking to him as they come. And she sees her friend get captured and she's like, oh my God, they're here. And yeah, yeah. So Liam Neeson tells her to, you know, what to do and all that stuff. Like, yeah. So hears all this stuff. She gets kidnapped and he's basically like, it's go time. I'm
going
to go find her. He gets his ex-CIA buddies to help him to do some analysis on the stuff, get some information. But basically, it's a one-man show. He goes to Paris. He's got, you know, a certain amount of time to find his daughter and take care of business. And it's awesome.
I think I got to see this movie now.
Something
I'm excited.
About someone with those kind of skills just taking care of business.
Like, you crossed the path of the wrong dude.
You absolutely did, because he's brutal. He's like, you know, his daughter's life is at stake, and you're in trouble if you get in your path.
I gotta rent this.
There's
movie.
A body count. So I thought it was paced well. It was only 90 minutes, which was great.
There we go.
Not too
sweet.
Much fluff. Good action scenes. Good dialogue. Occasionally some of the plot elements were maybe a little convenient, but they served to get the story moving.
Sure. Happens in almost every movie, right?
Yeah, you know. There wasn't too much in the way of fanciful technology that solved the problem. So I thought it was just an excellent film, and I really enjoyed it.
I wonder if it'll be 3.5 stars.
No. It will be this.
The Scope score is 3 stars.
So what brought it down a star, Jared? No Jedi mind tricks?
I don't know. I mean, it's not a film I'm going to want to see again.
Okay.
So to get in a 3.5, 3.25,
it has to
three
be
three
like
quarters,
Young
that's
Einstein.
It's going to be a film that I'm going to want to see again. It's going to have depth and layers to it. And this was just a good film that you want to see once.
Like A Land Before Time, for instance, one of your favorites.
Yes. Or Roller Babies.
Roller Babies. Wow, that's a tough one for people to grab onto, but I know that one. Stars one of the DeLuise brothers. It does.
Peter? Dom? Which one?
I think Peter. Dom was not there. Roller Baby is about a world where no one has water and everyone's in rollerblades. That is absolutely true. Not on DVD.
Can you get any more exciting than that?
I don't think you can.
All right.
So, Jared, we've wrapped up reviews, so that leaves one more segment. We're going to name it something new this week.
We are?
It's called Coming Soon.
Oh. I don't think that name's going to stick.
It probably will not last, but I think we're going to go with it. Shimon.
Shane, coming soon. This is where I assume somewhat of a radio voice.
I love it.
In music, week of July 21st, we have Susanna Hoffs and Matthew Sweets.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Sweets plural or is it singular?
I think it's listed
as plural, but I thought it was just Matthew Sweets.
I think it's singular, but maybe it's like, are they saying that's the album's name? Like it's their working together?
I don't know. There's no apostrophe.
Okay, weird.
Anyway, the album is Under the Covers, Volume 2.
So they must be doing covers of music. Okay. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
You also have Ian Hunter with Man Overboard.
By the way, Matthew Sweet, missing from Rock Band. I wish he was in there because he's got about 4 awesome songs that would work pretty well.
Our Lady of Peace, Burn mm-hmm. is the album.
Okay.
I think there's a couple songs I like by them, and that's it.
Yep.
Jordan Sparks
with
Battlefield. Is that her first album or second?
No, it's not. It's probably her second. And that's for
Maybe
you, by the
third.
Way.
Maybe it's her third. Really? Because you know me, I'm a big Sparkhead.
He's a Sparky, as they call him.
A big Sparky.
He's
exactly.
A Sparky.
And Sugar Ray.
Attack of the 90s.
Music for Cougars. Are they talking about the animals, or are they talking about the older ladies that young boys?
I think you could go with the latter pretty safely.
Okay. Only one release on the list here for the week of July 28th.
Please.
Or is it the day of July 28th? Whatever. Ashley Tisdale.
Ugh.
The album is Guilty Pleasure. I don't even know who Ashley Tisdale is.
I think she's a Disney star.
Oh boy, Shane.
Mm-hmm. I know you're excited, sir.
I cannot wait.
You got your radio voice back. Oh.
Shane, coming up in movies, we've got July 24th, the release of G-Force.
Oh my.
That's guinea pigs in their CG and they're like spies or
something. But it has the voice of Tracy Jordan and the weird dude from The Hangover.
Okay. Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Who I watched his comedy special last night on Netflix streaming.
Well, Netflix streaming.
Yeah. You've got The Orphan.
That's a spooky, spooky movie.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Me either.
The Ugly Truth. Katherine Heigl has a hard time swallowing Gerard Butler's wisdom.
Is that what she's trying to swallow?
Well, that's what it says here on the page.
I did not write that. No, I did not. It sounds a little cheeky.
The following week, July 31st, Aliens in the Attic.
Yep. CG. Aliens invade.
I don't know this one.
Aliens invade some kid's attic, and they are going to take over the world, and no one conveniently sees the aliens except for the kids.
Do they look like Roger from American Dad?
No, they
he
don't.
He lives in the attic.
He does.
He has a lot of wigs.
What does his voice sound like?
He talks a little bit like this.
Paul Landau. That's who it's based on.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. And Funny People, the latest Judd Apatow film coming out.
That might be the last movie of the summer that I'm really excited to see.
I do want to see that one. Looks good. Seth Rogen, yeah. Adam Sandler.
I've never seen a Judd Apatow movie that I haven't liked, so...
Pineapple Express also just showed up on Netflix streaming, Shane.
I didn't see that.
This episode of The Scope brought to you by Netflix On Demand or whatever it is. Watch it now or streaming.
So
shit.
Could you come over to could you come over to my house, log in with your account, and then we could watch Pineapple Express on my Xbox?
I probably could. Yeah, probably.
Something to think about.
Probably.
Something to think about. Do you have an HDMI cable on your Xbox?
What? I just do your on your TiVo. Your HD TiVo.
Oh, okay. I thought you were streaming it through your Xbox.
I could do either, but it would just be easier to just do it on your TiVo.
But I can't do it on my TiVo.
Why not?
It's got my number attached to it.
What does that matter?
How do I stream it on from my TiVo?
You go into the TiVo app and you say, I want to authorize this device. And then it says, oh, put this code in over at the Netflix website.
Oh, interesting.
And you go to the Netflix website and you bloop, 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 put the code in and all of a sudden it's available.
Wow. I think we're
just
gonna
like
be,
that.
We're going to be even closer friends.
We'll see.
Anyway, what else?
DVDs, Shane.
Yes, sir.
Almost becoming obsolete because of Netflix streaming.
Yes, for you.
July 21st, Coraline, or is it Coraline? Coraline, I think.
It's Coraline, my
is
friend.
It? That's yes. A film a lot of people were excited about when it came out. I could not care less.
You were never a Neil Gaiman fan.
I liked Sandman.
Did
I don't
you?
know.
Did you read all those?
I caught like the last 30 issues.
Well, that's not bad. What else, Jared?
Pushing Daisies Season 2.
Yeah.
And Watchmen, the 2-disc collector or director's cut.
I was going to buy that, Jared.
Yeah. Not going to wait.
Now I'm going to wait till December for the 5-disc set that's coming out. Which they really have a coupon in the in their advertising it. So
I'm like, do I care about the 5-disc set? What's gonna, is it gonna suck my dick? I mean, what's the deal?
It might. It might. Oh. Check out your poll.
Okay. July 28th, Shane, Dollhouse Season 1.
No.
I will get that.
Oh,
because I like to support Joss Whedon and I like the show.
What a Joss Whedon must be a deity in your eyes.
No. Not quite. And Dragon Ball Evolution.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
We have some video games coming out.
I forgot to put Voltron comes out. The last series of Voltron comes out.
I need to get all of the vehicle sets still.
I know.
I need to get those. I need to get G.I. Joe and Transformers.
G.I. Joe just came out this week. $17 at Target.
I know. I need to get Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Just came out.
I know. Jared, a lot of stuff I need to get.
You're falling behind. Why are you falling behind?
Convergence is expensive. Oh, and I have trips to Omaha in October and probably Orlando in December. You know, just things,
Orlando
things
in December.
Expensive.
We'll talk about that in the show, but yeah. That's exciting.
Christmas with the family. Not my family, though.
Wow.
Video games, Shane. Week of July 19th, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in a Time reshelled for Xbox 360.
They pretty much take the Turtles in Time video game and then reskin it to make it cool and hip.
And how much are they selling it for?
Maybe $10.
Oh, is it an Xbox Live game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. King of Fighters 12 for PS3 and Xbox 360.
Wow, that's a lot.
GeForce, the movie tie-in game.
So you'll be buying that.
For every system. And Rock Band Country Track Pack for Xbox 360, PS3, and the Wii. No PS2 love there?
No. I will be buying not that track pack, but when they release Kenny Rogers the Gambler and On the Road Again by Willie Nelson will be in my Xbox.
Those are good songs.
Yep.
And week of July 26th, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for Xbox 360 and PS3, and Wii Sports Resort for Xbox 360.
Psych. That's a big game right there, actually.
Wii Sports Resort. I thought that was out already.
No.
No?
Delayed.
Delayed?
Yep, now it's coming out.
Why was it delayed,
It's a coming out.
Shane, it's been delayed for like 2 years.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It should have been out the summer after the Wii came out.
Nintendo knows no schedule. It's done when it's done.
This is a long show. We talk a lot.
I know.
We talk a long time.
Adam makes us want to talk less,
I guess.
So close this sucker up and let's let you talk some more.
Under the scope.
Okay, Jared.
Yeah?
Talk some more, my friend.
I'm getting ready to talk.
Okay, he's shuffling his papers.
Shane, this is the part of the program where we read your comments that you send in.
Okay.
Comment number one, Carrie writes in and says, hi, guys.
Hey,
fantastic
guys.
Fantastic show. I love the match game and wanted more of it. The new format of the reviews is very cool, and it opens it up to different things to talk about, like, say, a book, video games, and cities.
A book. Har, har, har.
I hope you liked the fact that we did more of those type of reviews on the show, even though we only talked about... Well, you talked about a concert, so that's different.
That is different, and Jared sucked the...
I talked about streaming content.
He did. He sucked the genitals of a company called Netflix the whole time.
Comment number two, Nikki writes in to say that was quite entertaining to listen to, and now I'm suffering more Convergence withdrawal.
She's talking about, of course, our Convergence super special.
Exactly. Damn it, MarsCon needs to get here quick. Also, I'm hanging my head in shame as I didn't call in. I suck.
She didn't.
She did not.
And I hung out with her quite a bit this Convergence, so I'm disappointed.
You know what else? We probably could have interviewed more people.
Could we? We didn't really try, did we?
We didn't really try. I know that like the first year we tried doing scope stuff, we were like all gung-ho. We were interviewing people in costume and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work, though.
It was a lot of work. And we didn't actually do the interviews we had built.
That's true. Maybe that's why we didn't do it.
And I wasn't drunk, so... You were, though. You could have done a lot of interviews based on the alcohol you drank.
What, at Convergence?
Oh, yes.
I wasn't that drunk.
Come on, Jared. Don't lie to our listeners.
I did sleep with a goat, but that's beside the point. I would have done that anyway.
That's part of his schedule.
Comment three in my last comment for this segment, Shane. Anne writes in to say, thank you, Jared. That must have been a beast to tame. Listening to the mess and cleaning it up, we appreciate your hard work.
Was she talking about the show or something else?
She's talking about the show and the hours of labor I put into assembling episode 76, our Convergence Super Special.
Don't you feel good about it? The end results, you have to feel proud of the work.
I think it turned out well.
It was great. It was a solid A effort on your part.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank to the people who called in. Gary, I'm sorry we didn't get your three-part telling of the aristocrats in there. it just didn't seem to fit the show. I'm sorry. We were kind of looking for, you know, convergence talk, and it was a whole other thing. So apologize for that, Gary, but, you know, you weren't the only one who got cut.
It is what it is. Jared cut out 3/4 of my things.
Yes, I did. If you would like to get on the show by having a series of words written in a hopefully coherent sentence, you can send that to comments@thescopeshow.com, or you can read it yourself by calling the voicemail line at 646-495-9201, extension 7055.
Please.
That number might be changing in the near future, Shane, courtesy of Google Voice.
I hope so.
I have to do some experiments to see how it works, but let's just say I got a primo number.
I like it.
You can join our Facebook fan page or follow us on Twitter. Both of those links are on the website at thescopeshow.com. We're also looking continuously for reviews in iTunes.
Any new ones lately?
No, nothing new. One of the best things you can do to help us get a little more noticed in iTunes, which is the number one place to find podcasts, whether or not you hate Apple, it's just a simple fact. They
yes.
have the market. It's the reviews. So if you give us reviews, hopefully we'll, you know, get noticed by the people at Apple and maybe make it onto their featured page, which would, you know, fame, fortune, all that.
Explode exactly. our popularity.
And we're also, you know, hoping for donations. We're accepting donations. There's a donate button right there on the website. Any amount is helpful. The show isn't free. We don't have a lot of expenses, but we do have hosting charges and, you know, I don't know. Flyers cost money, business cards cost money, hookers cost money. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of sponsors in the past. A donation of $5 or more will get you a sponsorship of an episode in your name.
Do we have a listener plug you're going to do this episode?
We'll do it next show.
Next show.
I don't have... Okay. I'm not organized on that
okay,
yet.
Closed circuit to you-know-who. You sent us an email.
We got it. We're deliberating, and we just got to get organized.
That's right.
There you go. That's it for comments. That's it for the pluggery.
I've got notes, Jared.
I'm trying to think. Do I have anything coming up that I need to know? Really?
It's been kind of
quiet July.
I have something for us.
Shane,
tell us
what you got.
This is a scheduling note, everyone.
Schedule note.
My summer vacation is coming up, so
yes.
we are skipping either a show or a show, pushing the show out a week. I don't know what we're going to do.
Maybe I'll do a show with Adam.
Yeah, maybe you guys should. I think it'd be interesting. But in the meantime, to make up for that, Jared and I will be on the podcast Zero Hour with John Norton.
Did you tell him?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be locked in, so that show will be airing sometime next week.
Recording Tuesday, Wednesday,
Tuesday, Tuesday evening, 7:30. That's recording time. It's a closed circuit to you, Jared. And hopefully
right.
it'll be a good show. We'll bring our A game, and we'll talk about a bunch of topics, much like we do here, but a little more loosey-goosey.
Shane, we always bring our A game, mainly because we sold the BC and D games long ago.
Long ago. Question for you, Jared, before we wrap the show up.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your drum over here, the cymbal. Is it a hi-hat?
No, that would be a small crash cymbal.
Small crash cymbal has been crashed. It looks like some sort of metal-eating monster took a chunk out of it. How do you do that?
Oh,
it's broken.
It's here's the thing. It was developing a crack.
Yes.
Over the course of January, February, once it cracked, that was the end of it, and then a chunk fell out, and it's a kind of a rolled out cymbal.
Yeah,
so it's just basically peeling like an orange right now.
Can I get a promise from you? Could you take a picture of that and post it so people could see what that looks
sure,
like?
Sure, I can
give
do
a
that.
Visual because it is it's pretty rough. It's almost inhuman. I've never seen anything like that.
Do something about that before I do any more recording because that's rough shape.
That's right. So everybody, this has been episode 77 of The Scope. We will be back in 3 to 4 weeks, but don't forget to check us out on Zero Hour next week. Jared and I love it when you give us attention.
Yeah.
And if you do, maybe Adam will come back on the next show. Till then, we'll see ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201, extension 7055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, farewell. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.